Good afternoon, everyone. We gather here to celebrate the life of Bill Prentice. We come into the presence of God to share our faith, our hopes, our dreams, our griefs. And we gather and gather our hearts together and our minds together to thank God for this life. I need to make a couple announcements prior to the moving on. We're happy to have John Giuliano. He is here. He is the previous pastor of this church, and he'll be sharing his gifts in music, and he will have a medley of songs after the time of remembrance. And the family wants you to remain after the service today and break bread with them as a time of food and fellowship. Also, Larry Gallagher, the present pastor of Ross Church, is with us today to be with us to worship and to celebrate this life. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, into your loving presence, we come to celebrate and honor the life of Bill Prentice. We're mindful that life is your gift to us, and that what we do with our lives is our gift back to you. And we celebrate what Bill Prentice did with his life. Comfort us, Father, who mourn, for our loss is great, and we know you will comfort us with your presence. And hear our gratitude and our praise for the assurance of life beyond this life. Amen and amen. We're going to stand and sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Remain standing. We're going to have an affirmation of faith taken from the 23rd Psalm, and let's affirm this psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And at this time, Francis will come and share a remembrance, and she'll be followed by he'll be followed by Bernie.
I'm so privileged and honored to share a few remembrances and experiences that I had with Bill, and thank you, Mae, for allowing me to speak on your behalf. Bill Prentice is my favorite brother-in-law. I met Bill in Hawaii in the early 1960s when I was dating Mae's sister, Sharon. Through the years, as we got to know each other well, we headed off and we were able to confide in each other. In fact, I've noticed that most people Bill met hit it off with him as well. He was that kind of a guy. Bill had a personality that was joyful, full of fun. He was kind, generous, helpful, and genuine. He was true to his word. With these traits, one cannot help but like him as a friend and trust him as a confidant. Bill and Mae came to Hawaii often, and we made it a point to visit them whenever we could. Whether they came on vacation or we went to Ohio, some of our favorite times were our long talks and discussions over a glass or two of wine or a cup of coffee. We talked about our families, our work, and our lives. Being older than me over the years, I got some great advice and knowledge from Bill. I will always remember and cherish those times. One trait that Bill had, he was an excellent handyman who could repair and fix all kinds of things. We were the envy of our neighbors in Hawaii. Whenever Bill stayed at our home, Bill would be doing all kinds of things on our honey to-do list, such as installing new phone jacks, washing and polishing our cars, installing new shelves, cleaning out our garages, and doing many other things. Our neighbors noticed all that Bill did for our house, and they would ask us, Who is that man doing all those things for you? Is he out for hire? We could sure use him to fix up our place. Indeed, Bill was great and a gracious handyman. One example I can recall vividly was at our home. We had a dishwasher that was about 2 years old, but not working. So we called the repair technician to have it repaired. After inspecting the inoperable dishwasher, the technician reported the motor of the dishwasher is frozen because of lack of use. It cannot be repaired. So we had a dilemma. The dishwasher wasn't working because we didn't use it often enough. So we should spend the money to replace something that we didn't use. On the other hand, didn't like the idea of having a broken dishwasher. So the dishwasher sat broken for many months as we contemplated whether we should get a replacement or remove it or use the space to have shelves installed. Soon after that, Bill and May came to Hawaii on vacation. Being the handyman that he was, we asked Bill to look at the dishwasher one last time, just in case. Bill looked at it, sprayed the rotating belts with WD-40 and turned it on, and it started. And the dishwasher kept working for another 20 years. So he showed up, the repair technician. Because Bill was very proficient in plumbing, carpentry, electrical, and other construction work, he built many patios and basements, and the finished products were always first-class professional jobs. But the project that was Bill's favorite pride and joy was the basement and patio he built at your Stephanie Drive house. The basement was definitely the man cave of all man caves. And I attest to that. Bill was also great to his nieces and nephews. When our daughter went to college in Miami University, Bill was there to help her move her into her dorm, located on the second floor. In fact, he helped her move into her dorm every year, carrying her heavy furniture and clothes up the stairs, and always wondered why she never lived on the first floor. When Lee moved to his dorm in Northwestern, Bill was there to help him also move into the second floor. When Jessica moved into the dorm at Washington University in Missouri, she had to be settled on the third floor of the dorm. Bill could not understand why none of the kids could live on the first floor. So Kim, Jesse, and Lee, you got to thank Bill, Uncle Bill, for all that he did for you guys. We were also fortunate to have been able to travel with Bill and May. Over the years, we took many trips together. One of our first trips together, we went to Mammoth Caves, Kentucky. Our daughter was only 3 years then, so Bill carried her on his back the whole way up and down the steep trail. After a while, Kim said to Uncle Bill, "Let's stop, I'm tired." We had a good laugh about that, and that was so funny. Then I can remember Bill building the lake house in Kentucky. In fact, one of my favorite memories was when we came to visit and we went to Kentucky to help him. We were going that weekend specifically to dig a well for the house. There were several of us going to dig the well that weekend, so we caravaned in several cars. Bill was driving one car, I was driving another. It was my first time to use a CB radio so we could communicate between cars as we were traveling to Kentucky. This was back before the use of cell phones. Because we were going to dig the well, Bill's CB handle was Digger. And because this was my first time, I really didn't know what my handle was or how to respond when he called me on the CB radio. So instead of saying Roger or 10-4, I blurted out, "This is Digger's driver." We had so much fun that weekend, and this was just the start of it. Bill and May also joined us on many trips to our credit union conference, Sharon's credit union conference. On one trip to Boston, they drove to Boston, picked us up. Four of us drove to the eastern and southern states, ending up in Ohio. Another time, they joined us in Branson, Missouri, where we saw performances by Andy Williams, the Rockettes, Bobby Vinton, and Shoji Tabuchi. But the most memorable of our trips that the four of us took was in Japan. We experienced the hustle and bustle of the crowds and the train stations and the different Japanese foods and meeting our families. Bill and I were also fortunate to be able to take a trip to Washington, D.C. with his church group without our wives. We were able to bond even further as we traveled laughed and ate together. It was one of my favorite trips. Excuse me. In our talks, Bill always advised me to enjoy life, not to work too hard, and just relax. He always told me how much he loved me, Lonnie, Ronnie, Aaron, Roger, and Emily, and how proud he was of all of them. And I also know, especially by all the pictures that we have seen, that he was so happy and proud to have had the chance to hold baby Roger, his first great grandchild. So, to my favorite brother-in-law, Digger, thanks for all the memories. The great talks, the fun experiences we had. We will all miss you very much, but I know that we will see each other again. Until then, this is Digger's driver, 10-4, Roger and out.
And now at this time, Bertie Grissinger will come and share some of his memories.
It's heck to get old. Francis, you did good. Oh, Bill Prentice. 83. He's from Osgood, Indiana. Now, I'm sure every one of you have been to Osgood, Indiana. You might have been through it with a blink of an eye and not even know it. But that's where Bill was from, and he loved it there. There were 14 in his graduating class. I think 6 guys and 8 girls, so the guys had a field day, I guess. Bill and I became acquainted. He lived on Rutledge Court in Taft Place, and I lived on Holmes Court, also in Taft Place. And I could go out my back door, through the neighbor's backyard, and I'm at Bill's house. Now, Rutledge Court, to me, seemed kind of a royalty sound to it. So I knighted him, Sir William of Rutledge Court. And as soon as I found out, as Francis said, Bill was a handyman, boy, and I can't do anything, as some of these guys in here know. And I took advantage of Billy Boy. So, Franson mentioned Cumberland, the lake. And we went down there a lot of times. And this one time we went down there, Pat and I and Bill and May. And Chuck and Irene Thacker were down there. And Thackeray's place was about 100 feet next to Bill's. And Thackeray some way got a dock, boat dock. He wanted to put it in, down at the end of his property line. So we got some cable. There were six people, three women, three men. I didn't know how to put a boat dock in. Thackeray didn't know how to put a boat dock in. Bill did, and the three women did. Now, you got to take, these three women were school teachers. Well, make a long story short, Bill and I were down in the boat trying to get this dock cable down there. And all this time prior to this, these three women were giving Bill orders. Well, Irene Thackeray said something to Bill, and Bill yelled, "Will you shut up, Irene?" And boy, did she come out with some words. And the next thing I knew, he put that throttle this way. And Steve, I don't know if you can wheelie a boat, but all I saw was the skies. He took off. I said, "Bill, what's wrong? Settle down, will you?" Well, the school teachers, they always want a boss. They treat you like kids. So I said, "Just ride around a little bit, okay? Because we got to get back. Have a few appetizers." So we pull into the shoreline there. He's pretty calm now. And the dock's there halfway tied up, so he pulls one side of it. I get out, he gets out, and he starts. I drop my boat keys in the water. And boy, you know. And he had a floater on it, but he had so many keys on it, they sank. And you couldn't see the bottom. The lake was all stirred up. I said, "Bill, we're just going to have to wait till morning, till everything settles, so you can get your keys." So he did, and we did. Crack of dawn, he's out there. And sure enough, right there, 3 or 4 feet in the water, there's his keys. So he was satisfied. But when Bill left Rutledge Court, came over to the condos on Stephanie, he became the maintenance person for the 36 condos. As Francis said, he could do anything. And I don't know how many years he did this. He was only supposed to do it for the outside. But these old women, they got him inside. "Bill, just look at this. Look at this, you know." Well, he'd fix it. And then they'd give him a plate of cookies or a piece of cake or something like that. But he loved people. He loved to help them. And that's what he did at the condos. We were down at the gazebo a couple days ago, and Steve had power washed it. I said, Bill used to paint the gazebo, volunteer his time, paint that gazebo. I don't know how many times he did it, but that was Bill Prentice. Another interesting thing, probably those of you who do know Bill Prentice, he used to be a semi-truck driver, 18-wheeler. And one day we were going to Harrison, I don't know, May, if you remember this or not, to eat. And he took Wiley Road. Now, Wiley Road is a country road. There's nothing on it. Just farmland, but the speed limit was 35. And he got behind a Corvette going 35. Well, that 18-wheeler right foot got anxious, and he went around it, ran around the Corvette, and he was going 50. All of a sudden, I said, what are you slowing down for? He said, check the rear. And here the lights were going. Sir, do you know you were going 50 miles an hour? Yes, I do. But the speed limit should be 50. 35 is too slow. He said, sir, I enforce the law. I don't make them. Okay? That cost him $80. And another time we were coming back from eating. We're always eating. Coming back from the fore and aft. Down there on the river, and coming through Miami Town, that last stoplight there at the main intersection, and there's, as you're going toward Hamilton, there's some houses on each side. Again, speed limit, 35 miles an hour. I said, Bill, you're going 50. Yeah, that's all right. All of a sudden. Now, this is a good one. Listen to this. Officer comes up. You know you were going 50 and 35? He says, really? He said, my odometer must be wrong. Could you check it? Could we check it? Huh? He said, yeah, we'll check it. So Bill takes off going 35 miles an hour. Officer comes back, pulls him over. He said, you were going 35? Bill said, yeah. He said, I was going 35. Your odometer's all right. Another $80. Bill loved to volunteer at Fort Hamilton Hospital. Loved it. He was doing it about every day of the week until the end. But everybody there loved Bill Prentice. He knew them all. Some of you are here today. And, of course, May helped a little bit, baking cookies, some bread, or some cake, something like that. And toward the end, when he would just come in, he'd have his oxygen. And Jerry and Claire and I were sitting there, and here comes Bill. How you like my pants? Of course, Bill had no rear end. How you like my pants? And Jerry said, man, Bill, they look good. Turn around. They fit your rear end good, too. He said, well, where'd you get them, Bill? He said, they're May's. I got in the wrong closet. Oh, boy. Anyway. You know, he became real good friends with Carla A. Vance. She was a surgical nurse, and thus the A. Vance Funeral Home today has his remains here. One more thing, okay? One more. About a month ago, I was up seeing. He's Bill's stubborn. And we were talking, and I said, how you doing? Well, you know, I go into the doctor's office, and I get tired. I said, well, sit down and rest. He said, nah. I said, I'll tell you what, Bill. I got a wheelchair, a transport, not a big wheels, but just a little one that's transport wheelchair. I'm not going to use a wheelchair. What's the matter with you? I said, Bill, what do you got on your face? He said, what do you mean what I got on my face? What do you got over your eyes? He said, glasses, you dummy. I said, why? He said, I have to have them to see. Oh, really? Huh. What are those things in your ear, Bill? Well, they're hearing aids. Well, why you got them, Bill? I have to hear. Then why don't you use a wheelchair to help you get around? Look, I got enough bosses. I don't need you to start bossing me. Okay? So that was one of my last visits with Bill. And we're gonna sure miss him. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Francis and Bernie. Amen. Amen. Now Pastor John Giuliano will share some medley of spiritual music.
Some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday. And exchange it someday for a crown. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portal he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Thank you, Pastor John. That music has the power to take us to a different place, doesn't it? At this time, we're going to share some holy scriptures to be read by Pam Zinsmeister. She would come at this time.
A reading from the book of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A reading from the book of Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What shall we then say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you very much. Bill Prentice's favorite hymn was what we're going to sing next. In the Garden. Let us stand and sing that great hymn.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is
still on the roses and the melody. The Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing,
and the melody that he gave within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own.
And the joy we share as we
tarry there, none other has ever.
I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night
around me be falling, and he bids me go where the voice of hope, his voice to me is calling, and he walks with me.
You may be seated. I have known Bill Prentice and May as their pastor and as their friend for over 30 years. And across the years, I have noticed a theme and a characteristic in Bill Prentice's life. He had this enormous capacity to be loyal and faithful to those that he loved, and to institutions that he loved, to his family, to the community, to the church, to the Lord of the church, to his country. An enormous capacity to be faithful to that which he loved and to who he loved. Now you will notice the flower arrangements that are before you. It's a theme of red, white, and blue. Bill, as you know, was a very patriotic individual. He served his country, he loved his country, and he served this country in the Korean War. A war and his experiences in that war that he scarcely could bring himself to talk about. But without Bill Prentice and thousands of other young servicemen, Pope John would not have been able to set foot on the soil of South Korea to a free nation. It could have easily been in the throes of a tyrannical communist regime to the north. But Bill Prentice and others made South Korea possible. No wonder he was part of the loyal disabled American veterans. He carried on this sense of loyalty by being a part of that group of soldiers. And also he was a veteran of foreign wars organization. And he belonged to the Society of the 3rd Infantry Division. The loyalty, the patriotism was a part of his soul. And perhaps you have noticed on the monitor a picture of Bill Prentice. And you will notice that he is in his Army uniform. And that is by choice. There are many pictures that the family could have shown you. But they chose to show this one because of his loyalty and his passion and his love for the country and living that out. Bill worked and retired from the Ford Motor Company. He was a sales and service manager. Will it surprise you to know that Bill Prentice never had any car except a Ford? That's what you call real loyalty to a company. It would also surprise you that May Prentice drives a car that happens to be a Lincoln Continental, but that's a Ford product. And I understand that no one in this family has anything but Fords. That's loyalty. And I'm sure he got a financial incentive to do that. But I think the loyalty went beyond that because he was known to wear a ball cap with a Ford company monitor on it. That kind of loyalty is kind of rare. The first Sunday that I was First United Methodist Church uptown, 1979, and there is a pastor's parking space right outside the church. You have to walk by it to get into the church. And I would think that Bill Prentice that morning when I was there for the first time and he walked by the pastor's parking space, he had to notice that there was a Ford Thunderbird sitting in that parking space. And I think that might explain how we become very good friends from the beginning. And I think of the devotion and loyalty that he has for his wonderful wife, May. She's a rare quality individual. She was and she is his soulmate. May was a member of the Union Congregational Church in Hawaii. And the youth minister there pointed her to Seattle, the Seattle Pacific College, where she could earn a degree in teaching, by the way. And she spent 30 years in a career as a teacher. And Hamilton has been much blessed by the talents that May has given to the community. But she hadn't been back to Hawaii, her home place, for about 3 or 4 years. So she went back on a summer vacation. And this shows you how Providence works. Bill Prentice was in training, basic training there, soon to be shipped out to Korea. And it just so happens that Bill was invited to be a part of a group that was going out on some touring, part of the family. He was invited to go, and that was the beginning. That was the beginning of a lifelong journey that included 62 years of marriage, hand and heart, soul to soul. What a beautiful journey that was. And no wonder Bill thought of Hawaii as his second home, because that was where love was for him, for May and the wonderful family. And here they are. They've traveled all the way across the Pacific to be with us to celebrate his life today. God bless you for doing that. Bill shipped out to Korea. But when that war was over and he could get away, he took a flight that went straight to Seattle, because that's where love was. That's where May was. And they were married June the 19th, 1952, in Seattle. And I have watched their devotion for over 30 years, and it's inspiring to have known them in that devotion. Bill was faithful and loyal to his church. When he came into the Methodist Church, he took a vow with this question: will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church? Will you uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? He said, I will. The interesting thing about this person who said, I will, his whole life, his character, his enormous capacity to be faithful and true was behind that one statement, I will, and he honored it all the days of his life. You noted that we had the affirmation of faith, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, that's the greatest affirmation any human being can make at any time in human history. The Lord is my shepherd. Not only that God exists, Bill knew that. And not only was God a shepherd, and he knew that, but here's the clincher. That little word, my, that personal pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd. And when the Lord becomes our shepherd, my shepherd, then is released into our lives this power and this wonder and this beauty of a reason to live and a liberation to grow and to become as a human being. The power of saying God not only is, and not only is he a shepherd God, but he is my shepherd God. Then and only, and it's very personal, then and only then, is the beauty and the transcendent power of this faith released in our lives. I believe that has something to do with Bill's capacity to endure some of the hardest challenges a human being can ever have. Not long after they were married, Bill was stationed in South Carolina. And in the barracks there, there was a huge explosion and a huge fire. And two-thirds of his body was severely burned. And he was shipped out to San Antonio, Texas, to the Brooks Medical Burn Unit. And he was there for 5 months, a lot of skin grafting, you can imagine. And after that time, he went back to Seattle where May, who had been with him through this whole ordeal, she was there to care for him in Seattle. And slowly but surely, he recovered. And I remember one Sunday here in this church, I was alluding to the fact that some people have had a near-death experience. And at the end of the service, when Bill came out and shook hands with me, he said, "Pastor, I have had a near-death experience." And he said, no one should ever be afraid to die. There are other surgeries in his life, bypass surgery, back surgery, esophagus surgery, serious surgeries. And finally, the gallbladder surgery. But the strength to meet those challenges and others was simply from this loyalty and making the shepherd my shepherd, his shepherd. Bill Prentice didn't like hospitals too much because he spent so much time in them. And he never thought that he'd be a volunteer in a hospital. But when he had the gallbladder operation, he was treated so kindly and so tenderly by the staff and the doctor and the volunteers that after that, he announced that he wanted to be a volunteer at the Fort Hamilton Hospital. And my friends, he was uniquely qualified to do that. He knew how to empathize with people who were facing the medical problems and the threat of death in their lives. He knew how to reach across and to find a place in their lives that he could encourage them and comfort them. He knew how to do that. My wife had experience firsthand of some of his ministry as a volunteer in Fort Hamilton Hospital. You see, she had gone to Fort Hamilton for a routine colonoscopy, but her intestine was nicked, and her whole system became poisoned, full of a poison. And she actually thought she was going to die, and they began to give her a massive dose of antibiotics. And with this caveat that if the antibiotics didn't do it, she'd have to have another operation to clean up that mess. She was very, very sick. And one day, Bill Prentice came into that room. He had a yellow balloon, a get-well balloon, in one hand. And he had a vase of yellow flowers in the other hand that he'd gotten from the gift shop. And after smiling and greeting my wife, he hung the balloon there and put the vase down on the tray, asked how she was. Not so good. This man intuitively recognized that she was caught in the throes. Am I going to live? Am I going to make it? He walked around that bed and took her hand and looked her in the eye. And I've never heard Bill Prentice raise his voice, and I was not there. But he took her hand, and he stood before her, and he said to her in a voice perhaps not even his own voice, but he said, "You are not going to die." From that moment on, my wife ceased to worry. It was like a messenger from heaven. You are not going to die. And so every Sunday when he'd walk through that greeting door back there, and he'd be greeted by my wife, who has this habit of hugging almost anyone. It doesn't make a difference who you are, or whether you're ugly or good looking, or who you are. She's going to hug you. But when Bill Prentice would go out, she would hug him and she'd whisper in his ear, "How is my very special person?" And he was, ladies and gentlemen, he was that, a very special person. 3 or 4 days before Bill Prentice died, he looked up at his wife, and she had this worried look on her face. And he said, "May, don't worry, May. Don't worry, May. Because you know we're going to meet again in heaven." And we who own this faith, ladies and gentlemen, this man whose life we celebrate would say, "Grant, don't worry. We're going to meet in heaven. Lonnie, don't worry. May, don't worry. We will grieve, and we are grieving, but don't worry. Someday we will meet again." That's what happens when you follow the Good Shepherd, is this hope and this promise of the world to come. Amen and amen. Would you pray with me our Lord's Prayer? We're going to use the word debtors instead of trespasses. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now May Prentice will be presented with the American flag in honor of her husband's service for the country. Please remain standing. In recognition that there's life beyond this life, we're going to sing a song requested by the family. Blessed be the tie that binds.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comfort and our care. We share each other's woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
Now the family invites you to be a part of our fellowship of food. The family is going to go out and be served first, and you may follow them. Hear this benediction now. God the Father and God the Son, And God the Holy Spirit go with you and keep you until we meet here in this place, in this world, or in the world to come. Amen and amen.